I cannot think of a timelier moment to have a healing prayer service than right now. For weeks, we have been listening for the Word of God in worship, with, as Karl Barth once put it, the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. And it has been a rocky road. We have heard some strong words, prophetic warning, coming to us from Jeremiah for weeks. We've heard equally fierce words coming from our Lord out of the Gospel of Luke. And when we weren't being confronted about our own complicity in injustice, we were being drawn to grieve for the suffering and pain of that injustice. It's not just the scriptures, but the state of our world that has been pulling us in these very heavy and difficult territories. And Pastor Gordon last week took us even deeper to name inside of ourselves some of those places where we have been feeling defeated in our efforts to be faithful, where the spirit of cowardice, as it was called in 2 Timothy, kind of pulls on us, tempting us to just throw up our hands and give up. I've had multiple conversations lately with people who have been wrestling with the very same thing, essentially the futility that we all feel at times in the face of incredibly difficult, seemingly impossible, intractable situations. Whether it's been in the realm of national politics, which don't even get me started on what's been happening in that realm this last year. This last year, well, that's true too, but I meant this last week. Or in the realm of personal relationships, or in the realm of social justice, people have been asking those very same questions. And here's how I would frame the question. When so much is broken, and has been for so long, and the problems causing this are so complicated and intractable, deeply entrenched, where do we find hope? What do we do? Is healing even possible? And that is the question of God's people today in the book of Jeremiah. Everything that they have ever known is gone. Their city is destroyed. Their homes are long gone, and they are living as exiles in their enemy's land. And Jeremiah writes to them a word of hope, finally. It took us this many weeks to get to a word of hope from Jeremiah. And it's a word from him to these exiles that is meant to shift their focus kind of away from the trauma of their past toward the hope for their future. And his word to them is this: your healing will come from your investment in community. They will find healing as they put down roots in the place where they find themselves, right? Build homes and live in them. They will find healing as they reconnect with the earth and begin to live in those cycles of sustenance again, right? Plant gardens, eat what they produce. They will find healing as they give themselves again to the joy and the pleasure of love and family. Take wives and husbands. Give your children in marriage. That is where you will find your healing. Now, that invitation to start all over can feel daunting, but it can also be really energizing. Because what can begin as grieving, which is an incredibly important thing to do, over time can become something else, right? As you rehearse in your mind over and over again, what went wrong, what you have lost, kind of surveying the carnage over and over and over, begins to suck the life out of you. And what Jeremiah knew was that giving themselves to the energy of creation, beginning to envision and build what could come next for them, that is what would pull them toward new life. And the last word that he gives to them is absolutely essential. And it has to do with what they do with the relationship with these people who had destroyed their way of life. Babylon and Israel. The battle was over, and Babylon won. And they were living in the enemy's land. So would they continue to keep that rivalry alive? Continue to pray for their demise, their destruction? Look for that moment when they could turn the tables. Jeremiah brings a word from the Lord that is very clear, and the answer to that is no. In fact, what he says to him is that the energy of recreation demands that they seek the welfare of the city, pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. I suppose you could see this as just good practical advice, sort of like the adage that a rising tide lifts all ships. Right? You've heard that one before? But I don't think that's what it is. I think Jeremiah is reaching for a much more profound gospel truth than that. And that is that our lives are interconnected. Whether we feel those connections or not. And when we intentionally strengthen the bonds of those connections, that is when we begin to experience healing. So in the Gospel of Luke today, we get a visual expression of this truth. When I think about what was precisely needing healing in this story of the 10 lepers today, I recognize that my mind begins to go much further than simply the physical condition of those 10 individuals. When they call out to Jesus for mercy, he sends them to show themselves to the priest. Kind of an odd response. If he's going to heal them, why not just heal them then and there? And if he needs to send them anywhere, why the priests? And I think to myself, it's probably because the social isolation that's been imposed on the lepers is as painful as the physical condition of their bodies. And it's the priests who are the gatekeepers to decide who is clean and unclean, worthy and unworthy to be inside the community. So it's the priests who kind of exiled them, quarantined them to be on their own on the edges of town. And just in case you want to give them the benefit of the doubt and think this is about containing infectious disease, that is not what it was about. This is social stigma, plain and simple, in the guise of purity law. So there's no coincidence in my mind that it is on their way to reclaiming their place. Right? Jesus sends them to the priests, the ones who can say whether they stay or go. It's on their way to reclaiming their place in the community that they happen to look down and notice that the sores that caused their alienation have cleared up and they are made clean. Community and healing are deeply connected. Now, all 10 of these men were made clean. But it is only one of them that Jesus says has been made well or whole. And that one was the Samaritan who returned to give thanks. And from this very simple expression of thanks, Jesus deduces the depth of this man's faith. And he says to him that it's his faith, not the curing of his leprosy, but his faith that has made him well. Fascinating statement. Somehow in this exchange, Jesus is equating faith with gratitude. Or at the very least says that a faith that gets expressed as gratitude is what makes us well and whole. And I would add, whether or not we have a full-on cure of the disease that is afflicting us. Which brings me back to the question with which we began. When there is so much brokenness that has gone on for so long, and the causes are so complicated and deeply entrenched, where is our hope? What do we do? Is healing possible? And as I listen to these texts with that question, Some of the very first steps, I think, begin to emerge for us. Healing and community are deeply related. So anything I can do to strengthen the bonds of community are going to push me in the right direction toward healing. So if I can take someone who is really hurting and help them have a small experience of community, or if I myself can push myself to re-engage in relationships that I've let fall to the side, then perhaps we will each be taking one more step in the direction we want to go. Now, some of us in the Wednesday Fall series are reading a book by Brian McLaren that is entitled, We Make the Road by Walking. And what it's getting at is exactly what I'm talking about today. We don't know exactly how to get where we want to be, where God is calling us to be. But there are these steps we can take, and our texts point toward them today. And as we take those steps, I trust the next steps will be revealed, and we will continue walking toward that direction, and we will make the road by walking. And Jeremiah would add, walking together. And the energy, the spirit that's going to propel us down the road, according to Jesus, is the spirit of gratitude. Noticing the little gifts along the way and savoring those gifts. Taking time to stop what we're doing when a little blessing or gift comes our direction and give it our full attention. And if there's another human being on the other side of that blessing or gift, to take the time to stop what we're doing, even if we have to turn around and track back, to say thank you. When we lean into community, when we let gratitude fuel us, we do begin to find hope and healing. And it helps a lot to know that we don't walk alone. It's a gift to be part of a community of faith, of Hope Church, where we can walk together. And there are many, many communities who are doing the same. And I was helped this week, encouraged, as I listened to a piece of music that Bruce Tenhaken pointed me toward this week. It was a piece that was commissioned from the 92nd Street Y in New York City. This past week was Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. It's a Jewish Y on 92nd Street. And in honor of the New Year, they commissioned this piece of music and asked different rabbis and cantors and choirs to record it. And when you watch it as a video, you can see where these people are all over the country. And it is a prayer for blessing and healing. And so I want to share just a small piece of that music today as our prayer for blessing, as a reminder of where God is leading us and the many gifts that will accompany us along the way. So let us pray.